Hello, I'm Mike Salem. With your prayers and support, we are thrilled to continue broadcasting my dad's messages, proclaiming the Word of God. It's an encouragement to hear from you. A viewer in Colorado recently wrote, "Thank you for your ministry. I am a widow at a senior living home. I don't drive, and it is difficult to find fellowship in Christ. Your program is a comfort and a lifeline to the church and the world." Today's message, Moses, Man of Many Trials, reflects on the life of Moses, filled with difficulties and hardships, and how he endured through these struggles. Happy Father's Day, and God bless your week.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And if you have any troubles or trials or heartaches, we've got a message that's going to bless you, because we're going to look at Moses. And Moses had a ton of them, and he lived through them all in a glorious way. And so we can draw strength and help as we look at this great man of God. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 98, in the opening verses. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth beyond the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm. So, Lord, we just praise your name today. We just thank you for who you are, and that you're with us, and you're in this service, and you're directing the whole thing, because it's all to your glory. And in the service today, Lord, maybe there's some people that are having a hard time, and may they find comfort and strength to carry on and to go on just like Moses did. So we pray your blessing on this service in Jesus' name, amen. And Barb's going to sing for us, Serenaded by Angels, and God bless you, Barb.
She went to sleep one night, never here to wake again. But everything was all right between her and him. So she awoke in heaven's courtyard, free from pain within. The angels gathered round her, and they took her by the hand, serenaded by angels, up to the throne, serenaded by angels, finally at home, surrounded by praise. At night, and I try to imagine that city of brilliant light waiting for me. But my mind cannot conceive, so I'll continue to dream. Transported there, then I will be serenaded by angels up to the throne, serenaded by angels.
Thank you, Barb. That's going to happen if you know Jesus. If you receive Jesus as your Savior, you're going to see the angels and the saints of all ages, and you're going to see the dear Lord Jesus. And won't that be a glorious day? And when you get to be 96 years old like I am, a lot of your friends are already there. Most of your friends are there, and they've seen it and experienced it. And I'm going to get there too someday. So it's all because of Jesus. Well, we have some letters we want to read. And by the way, our scripture lesson today will be taken from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 34. And it's going to be about Moses. And I just love to talk about Moses. But let's look at some of the letters. Here's from Rapid City, South Dakota. I love your ministry. It's old school Bible study and worship. I love that you keep it simple without the mega watt expensive show that other television ministries put on. I can concentrate on prayer and scripture without all the distractions, and I thank you for that. God bless you all and everyone, and give you on the Christian Worship Hour who helped bring this program to all. Well, he hit the nail on the head. We're everyday people. We couldn't get fancy if we wanted to. And so we just, in our simple way, give the wonderful word of God. Whether it was singing or whether it's reading or whether it's preaching, it's always Jesus. All the lights are on Jesus. And so we're just happy that we can minister to you. And we are able to do it because we're using the word of God. And the Holy Spirit has taken the word of God, applying it to your heart. It's just glorious. Let's see, Tinley Park, Illinois. Happy Passover as we rejoice in our risen Savior, Yahshua, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're seniors and find your program to be such a blessing as we sometimes can't attend service at the church. During bad weather or illness, we can hear the word as you minister to all who need to hear the good news of the gospel. God bless your ministry as you are a blessing to us. And so that's what we're doing. We're using the word of God. And you know, God told Isaiah, comfort ye my people. And some of God's people are going through hard times. Sometimes they've lost a spouse they've been sad for years and years, and now one of them's gone on ahead. Or maybe they're lonely, maybe nobody calls on them, and maybe they're sick, and maybe they're shut-ins. Maybe they're young people and they're facing great temptations, or maybe they've stumbled and fallen and they don't think there's any hope for them. And the Christian Worship Hour is carrying the word of God that says, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And there you can wash them all away. And Jesus says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So that's what we're hearing, the wonderful word of God, blessing the people of God and blessing all who do not know the Lord as they come to know Jesus. Let's see, here's Manistee, Michigan. I'd like to give this as a memorial to my wonderful grandmother who taught us all about God and salvation through Jesus Christ. She is now with the Lord. And so here's grandmother. These grandmothers, I'm going to tell you, they touch more lives. And I don't know where the grandpas are. They're there, but maybe they're not as vocal. I don't know. But there I got a letter and it says, well, don't just say the grandmas. We've got grandpas that love the Lord. And I know you do. I know you do. But it seems like all these letters come about grandma. And so, but what a man, it doesn't matter, grandma, grandpa, what. Just share your faith with the children, with the young people. Tell them what Jesus has done for you and what a blessing it is. And it's real. And all that, we can all be about that business. Now, this letter is from a prison, Paracora, New York. And this person writes, I received your letter. And by the way, when we get letters from prisoners, we always answer them. We send them literature and we put them on our list so they'll get our Bible study, monthly Bible study. And so they said, I received your letter and thank you for your encouragement. Also for the little book you to study. I do so, and now I am much closer to God because he never leaves me, and I thank him for saving my soul. Pastor, I may not be in your presence in your church, but I always aim with you to be with you Sunday morning on television. So take care until next time, and God bless you all. And so we're just so happy that we can minister to these people in prison. And every month we have a Bible study. This month we have a Bible study that I might know him, that I know might know more about Jesus. That's really the words of St. Paul. He says that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and so on. So we want to know Jesus, more about Jesus. You never get tired of hearing about Jesus. Let's see, what is this? Newton, Iowa. Your truth-filled, Bible-inspired ministry continues to bless me every week. Every salvation message thrills my heart. You are feeding Jesus' lambs. Keep on the good news work. So many are lost or need the reminder that God welcomes the backslider back to him. Satan is not happy with the preaching of God's grace and forgiveness. God blessed me this month, so I'm able to increase my tithe. He sends just what we need when we need it. He's true to all of his promises. And that's exactly what we're doing, feeding God's sheep. And you betcha the devil doesn't like it. And he does everything he can to go stop us. But he can never stop us because the greater is he that is in you, that's the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, that's the devil. And God's going to win every time. Just stay on his side. Can't go wrong. Let's see, what's this? Beaverton, Oregon. We are always blessed by your message. We felt God was leading us to send our Passover gift to you. We know you will ask it and use it for God's kingdom. Blessings to you all. And that's exactly right. I know you don't know how we're going to spend the money, and some of you are living maybe in a different country, and you say, I'll send the money over there. What'll they do with it? I don't know if they'll spend it right. Well, we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and I tell you, they check us. They check us out. Just they're all over the place. They come in there just like ants on an anthill. They're everywhere, and they check every penny we take in and every penny we pay out, and we're always just as clean as a hound's tooth, just as clear as a bell. We pass with colors. And so when you send a gift, we're very careful to use it in the advancement of the kingdom, telling others about Jesus, helping others. Let's see. Oh, we got another one here. Indianola, Iowa. Now all listen to this. I give praise to God for your biblical-based sermons. I watch your program at 9 a.m. before I go to my Catholic church. Your sermons make the Bible come alive and very understandable. This is what I'm looking at. The Holy Spirit is in you. Praise God. And so we get letters sometimes and they say, I want the Holy Spirit in my life, in my body. And the way you get the Holy Spirit is when you accept Jesus and you just tell Jesus, and when accepting Jesus, you just tell Jesus that, dear Lord, I've sinned against you. And maybe if you have some big sin that really looms up, name it, give it to Jesus. And I, dear Jesus, I sinned against you. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll turn from my sins. I'll live for Jesus taught repentance. He told the woman, go and sin no more. And that isn't that she's going to be perfect, but get out of your old tracks and turn against your old ways. Live for the Lord. We're never going to be perfect till we get to heaven, but we strive for perfection. And when we fail, we go to Jesus and we tell him we're sorry, and he'll wash them away, take away all of our sins. And so we're told, and for instance, people say, well, how do you get the Holy Spirit? Well, if you've got a pencil, you write this down. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. By one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one body. And so when we accept Jesus, we receive the Holy Spirit. And you said, well, I didn't feel anything. I didn't either. I didn't get goose pimples. I didn't get shivers. I didn't see lights. I didn't hear voices. 10 years old, accepted Jesus, but I just felt like, oh, my sins are gone. I felt so happy. And so that you get the Holy Spirit. When you accept Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit. One more letter. And this is from Worcester, Massachusetts. Thank you for your ministry, for always teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with clarity and truth. I look forward to watching your broadcast on Saturday afternoons. I know you reach many of us, just regular folk, and have brought many more to the saving knowledge and trusting Jesus as our personal Savior. Thank you for remembering the inmates in jail that trust in our Lord. I've been there. And the only way I got through it was through Christ's strength. God bless you all. And that's truly, really true, that when you come to Jesus, he'll give you strength and he'll receive us. And you may be in prison, and we hear from prisoners all the time. But you may be in another prison, not with bars, but you may have prejudices, or you may be a prisoner of a certain habit or something like that. And when you come to Jesus, like Paul tells us in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That is, you have the Holy Spirit. You have the Spirit of God within you, and he'll give you strength you never had before. And you win the day, you can beat the battle. So we just thank you for all the letters. And I hope that more of you will write, and I hope you'll do this. I hope you'll send a gift, because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And so you send it to the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, 2002, and we're in good old Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57401. Maybe you want to send it on the internet. And of course, I was raised, we didn't have internet, we didn't even have cellophane, we didn't have plastic. And I'm from the dark ages. I'm from a different century. I'm to the 20th century. We're now in the 21st century. And so we didn't have any of these things. But now we can do it like this. You can get the ChristianWorshipHour.com, and you can send money over the air. Can you believe it? And you can send it from, we get money, for instance, we got money from Cuba, sent over the air. And when we get it in American currency and we pay our bills, we go on our way rejoicing. And remember what I told you. We're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. Every penny is accounted for. And then we want to tell you about the new song. And the new song is our Bible study. And we send this to prisons where people use it for Sunday school and many lessons and so on. And so it's this month it is, that I might know him, that I might know him. That's for the month of June. And it's free and postpaid. You just write to us. I've given you the name and our address, and I'll give you it one more time, especially for our people on shortwave, because they don't have a screen to look at, and we'd just love to hear from them. And wouldn't it be nice if we could hear from some of them in the persecuted church, because we pray for the persecuted church every week, and we're going to pray this week in just a few minutes when we have the scripture. We'll pray for the persecuted church. So you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And now I'm going to pray. Jan's going to play. And then you give as the Lord lays on your heart. And I just want to say this. Our only source of income is from God's people. No denomination, incorporate, or corporation or anything else. Just God's people. So you pray, and I know we'll get what God wants us to have, and that's all we need. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from Deuteronomy chapter 34. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to read the first 8 verses of the 34th chapter. And this takes place. Moses has led them out of Egypt and through the wilderness, and now they're at the border of the promised land. But Moses can't go into the promised land, and we'll look at that in our message today. And so Moses, God says, it's time for you to come home, Moses, and I want you to go to Mount Pisgah, and you can take a look at the promised land, but you can't go in. And so Moses is on Mount Pisgah, and he has this experience, and then God takes him home. And by the way, we're going to be praying for the Laos today. We always pray for the persecuted church, so we remember them too. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab under the mountain of Nebo to the top of Pisgah. That's over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead under Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and the land of Judah under the uttermost sea, and the south and the plain valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees under Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And God buried him in the valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth his sepulcher until this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab for 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Dear Lord, we thank you for the story of Moses. What a great and tremendous man he was, and how faithful and loyal he was. And he gives us courage and help and strength, too, as we think about it and as we look at his life. And we thank you, Lord, that he was true to you, though he had many temptations. And though he could have made other choices, he was only had one choice, and that was to follow you. And that's our prayer, Lord, those of us who know you. We want to follow you until you take us home. There's a Pisgah in our life when we're going to come to the end of life, and you're going to take us home. And won't that be a glorious, wonderful day? And so we live for that day. But Lord, we think of those who don't know you, and they have no future, and they have no hope, and they're in this world, and they're going to go under the judgment of God forever. And we just pray that, I know you're talking to them, Lord. You said you draw all men unto me. You said that you're not willing that any should perish. And so you're calling them right now in this service to come to Jesus and confess their sins and ask you to come into their life and then live for you. Oh, may there be multitudes to do that. Lord, we're praying for the persecuted church, our brothers and sisters in Laos. and some of them have given their lives. Many of them have given their lives. They've given up their homes. Their churches have been blasted to pieces, burned down. And the little children, some of them are orphans. And, oh, God, it must make your heart ache and make our heart ache. It must, what does it do to you? And yet, because of it's a man's sin, they've turned their back on you. They don't want you. They don't want you in the schools. They don't want to hear the Bible. They don't want preaching of the Word of God. They just want to go their own merry way and do what they want to do until they get right into hell. And so I pray they'll turn to you today. And I pray again now for the persecuted church that you'll bless them. Help them to know we love them and praying for them. And you'll see them through, and you'll take them to a better place. So bless us in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Melissa's going to sing for us, Great is Thy Faithfulness. God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness.
Well, thank you, Melissa, and you can always count on the Lord. He's always faithful. Some of us had friends, and they weren't very faithful, and about everybody's had that experience, I suppose, but God is faithful. Jesus is faithful. He'll never forsake us. He'll never turn His back on us. You read about people that leave Jesus. They won't take Him, and they won't receive Him. They go their own way. They turn their back on Jesus. But you never hear Jesus ever turning His back on anybody. And so that's the beauty. That's why it's so wonderful to preach. I can tell anybody anywhere, no matter what you've done, no matter where you live, that if you come to Jesus, He'll wash away your sins. You just ask Him to come into your heart, take away your sins. And then you turn from your evil ways. Got to make a turn for the Lord and live for Him the best you can. And you find that joy and that faithfulness that comes only in Jesus. Well, we want to talk about Moses today. And Moses is a wonderful man to talk about because he inspires us and he helps us. We all have troubles and trials, and it does sometimes as the young people, sometimes as the children. And they have their trials and their hardships. And God says, comfort ye my people. And here's one He comforts us through Moses. Because Moses had a lot of troubles and trials, believe me. And yet he stands as one of the greatest men in the whole Bible. and he stands alone in the mind of the Hebrew people because they always talked about Moses and the prophets. Moses, he just stood out above them all. And he had a hard life. You remember how he started from the cradle to the grave. He had his struggles. He had his battles. And he never gave up. And so when we think of him, when he came to die, it was a bitter disappointment because he couldn't go into the promised land. God's last words to Moses was a no, no. Moses wanted to go into the promised land, but God says, no, Moses, you can't go. And because he had committed a sin, and God held that, he had made a mark against God. And God says, you can't go into the promised land. You can lead him to the border, but that's it. And so the writer of the book of Hebrews talks about Moses, and he says he endured as seeing him who is invisible. In other words, he's saying here is a man, he didn't have his eyes just on the things of the earth, but on the invisible, the things of God. And that's a lesson for all of us. We need to be very careful because we get all taken up with the things of the earth, but we don't think of the invisible. We don't think of the things of God, the things that are eternal. And we shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word of the word of God. And so Moses was that kind of a man. He could see the invisible. He could see that there was a great God, and he was going to serve him, and he did serve him all the days of his life. And so from the outside, the Bible, from even outside the Bible, we see Moses and how that there were things that happened that we didn't know about. For instance, in Jude, we have a story where Michael and the devil are disputing over the body of Moses. Michael, the archangel, not just the angel, the archangel. Michael, the archangel. And they're having a dispute over the body of Moses. And the reason they were having a dispute was because Moses was such a tremendous man that if people knew where he was buried, they would have a church, they would have a monument, they would have pilgrimages to that place, and they would worship that man's body. They would worship the man instead of his God. And so God put him away, put him in, and buried him in a special place, and so that it'll be, so that no one knows. And there's a Jewish people have a beautiful legend of how the angel of death tried in vain to take the soul of Moses from him, but he couldn't do it. And he tried every way he could to take Moses and take his life. And then it was at God's time and at God's choosing, then he would go. And the Jewish have a little legend, and it says, when it came time for Moses to die, that God himself came down, and he drew the soul of Moses from him with a kiss. He kissed him into heaven. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, and it doesn't really matter, but it tells of the tenderness of God, and it tells of Moses and how that his heart was centered on God, and that he wanted to work and serve God in every possible way. And so the life, in many ways, where we have our trials and troubles in life, and it's not anything strange or new if you have trials in your life today. Men and women have lived this way and have traveled that way, and when you think about the persecuted church and our heart goes out to the persecuted church, we pray for them every service we have. We never forget them. And so he goes and he lives us, and he tells us to just to come to Jesus, come to God, put your faith in God. He loves you. He'll help you through every trial of life. We are very fortunate about Moses. We know a lot about Moses. There's some of the people in the Bible we don't know hardly anything about. For instance, we don't know much about Jeremiah. And what do we know about Isaiah and Paul? Very little, very little. But with Moses, we see him from the day he was born and all of his life until the day he died. And so God just seems like he just put great emphasis on this man. And all of his life, even at his beginning when he's born, they try to kill him. He's under the trials of Egypt, and they tried to kill him. And all through life, he made that battle. But there was one trial that Moses had that really stands out, and it's a battle that it's a decision that he had to make, and it shows his strength and it shows his love for God. It's the story of when Moses, when you remember how the Miriam comes and says, "Shall I get a maid to take a midwife to take care of the baby?" And he gets his own mother. And then Pharaoh's daughter says, "Now you nurse him until he comes a certain age, about six or along in there." And then she took him to the palace. And in that palace, he was trained by all of the great leaders of the day, all of the philosophers and all of the people that could possibly be with him. He lived in high luxury, and he had everything in his hands. And then there came a day when Pharaoh called Moses in, and he said something like, "Moses, I'm coming to the end of life, but you're a strong man and you're a good man. And you're trained in all the knowledge of Egypt, and you know all about the Egypt, and the people who admire you and follow you will love you. And so, Moses, I want you to be the next Pharaoh. But in order to be the next Pharaoh, you have to renounce the Hebrew nation. You have to tell them that you have those people, you don't have any part of them. You renounce them and put them away and out of your mind and out of your thoughts." And so we see this Moses, and he stands there, and everybody's waiting now. What's Moses going to say? And no one speaks and no one moves. And as clear as a bell, then after a certain length of time, there comes the word from Moses. "No, no, just look back. His mother had him maybe 5 or 6 years. We don't know exactly the time of weaning, but it was about that age for those people at that time. And she taught Moses, just, "Moses, don't you ever forget that you are a Hebrew. You're not an Egyptian, you're a Hebrew. And the gods of the Egyptians are no match with Jehovah God. And don't you forget it. And though all of your Hebrew people are slaves, while they live in luxury in the palace, don't you forget, little boy. That's what he was, a little boy. You are a Hebrew. And now here he is. He's been trained for all these years. And he's taught everything in Egypt, the very best that Egypt has. And now he has to make a stand. And what does it say? Well, look at here, Hebrews 11. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Because of that, Moses' name will last forever." Moses could have been buried in some great pyramid. He could have had a sepulcher like you can't, maybe like King Tut, filled with gold and riches and all, and had people that died so they'd be with him in death. Even his dog would be taken within death to go with him. And he gave it all up, and he makes himself as a Hebrew. He is a Hebrew, and the only God there is this great God Almighty, Jehovah. Well, so he has to leave. And not long after that, Moses is going along, and he sees some of the Hebrew people and how they're being beaten and how they're being their slaves and they're tortured. And he goes to it. He's just so angry as one of the men, one of the Egyptians, that he kills him. And so he has to go into the wilderness. Moses has to flee and go into the wilderness, or he'll pay with his own life. Moses is in that wilderness 40 years. And then he sees the burning bush. And God commissions him, and he had to wait 40 years. So maybe some of you young people, you want to see things happening right now. Be patient. You just give yourself to Jesus. Give yourself to God. In all thy ways, he'll direct you and he'll direct your life. And you say, "Well, nothing is happening," but you just be faithful and be patient and trust Jesus and walk with the Lord. Be true to the Lord. Moses had to be there 40 years before it was time for him to come. But he was true to God. He was obedient to God. Moses' hardest trial came though at the end of life, when he's going to be taken out of this life, and though he's had all these trials, the hardest one for all, I think, was that when he have to see this Moses, the servant of the Lord, is called the servant of the Lord, he has to look down, and he sees all of how he has lived and the things he's gone through. He sees he was always been strong no matter what he's called upon to do. When he's in Egypt, he's there with the people to lead them out of Egypt. And he sees the 10 plagues. And he leads the people to the Red Sea. And he crosses the Red Sea. And he calls on and then he goes and he comes through the wilderness. And then he comes to this rock. And he has to tell that there's supposed to be water bringing out of the rock. And that's when Moses committed that sin that God would never let him forget, punished him for that sin. Moses stood at that rock and he told the people, "Oh, you people," and he was angry with the people. And with his rod, he struck the rod twice, and out of that rock flowed the water. But the thing that Moses had done, that rock stood, was a figure of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will be struck once, but never twice. Jesus Christ was struck once on the cross, and he was put on that cross. Evil hands put him on that cross. And they nailed the spikes, and they held him there, and they drove the spear in his side, and he was struck once, never twice. And so now here he is, and he's done this. How men treated him so evil. But you can mark this down, my friends. Evil hands tortured Jesus in all and in that trial and all in the crucifixion and all of the rest. But loving hands took him from the cross. Loving hands put him in the tomb. And enemy hands will never touch the body of Christ again. Believe me, they'll tremble and they'll run for the hills and ask the rocks to fall upon them because they have to face an angry God. Because if we don't receive Jesus, God is offended because God gave his wonderful son. He gave the most wonderful possession he had in all the world, in all of heaven. And Jesus died for you on that cross. And we trample underfoot the blood of Christ. And we take his name in vain. And we don't bow our knees to Jesus Christ. And we live our own life. We are our own God. We do our own thing. We're self-made men. And if that isn't a pitiful mess, self-made men, look what they're doing to each other all over the world. And so here this man, Jesus, this wonderful Savior, struck only once. And when Moses struck that, Moses said to them, he says, "Hear you now, you rebels, must we fetch water out of this rock?" And then he had not honored God, see, and he struck the rod twice. And now the sentence comes back to Moses. He remembers he's on Mount Pisgah now when this is writing. He's at the end of life and he's going to leave. And this comes back and remembers. He remembers he pleads with God. How that he says, "O Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. I pray thee, let me go over. Let me go into that promised land." He's on Pisgah. He's going to die. "Let me go over and see the good land, the land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon." And God said unto him, "Speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up unto the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan." Remember what it says? Moses died at 120 years old and his eyes weren't abated. He could see as just like a hawk. And he could see all that land, but he couldn't touch it. And so then Moses stood on Pisgah, the highest peak of that mountain called Nebo. It's the very peak of the top of it all. And he looked down and he saw all of the children of Israel down there. And they had all their tribes and certain groups and they had their pennants flowing in the wind. And they're all there just on the Jordan River, ready to go into the promised land. He could look there and he could see how that they were, see the Jordan River. And the Jordan River flowing. And we're told at this time it was overflowing. The Jordan River is about 100 feet wide when at normal times. When it's overflowing, it can be a mile wide. And he could see that Jordan River, and the people are going to pass over. and he had to, and that he could see over the river, and he could see Jericho, and he could see with the eye of faith how that city is going to fall and how it's going to be put away, and the people of Israel, they're going to have that wonderful, wonderful land and be in that land. To the south, Moses could look upon the Dead Sea. To the north, there it was like a jewel, the lovely little Sea of Galilee. And beyond that beautiful blue Sea of Galilee, he could see the majestic snow-capped Mount Hermon. Now, I've seen Mount Hermon. And in the middle of the summer, the hottest day of the summer, you can go snow skiing at Mount Hermon. You can go bathing and swimming in the Mediterranean Sea, or you can go up to Mount Hermon. You can ski the same day, the same afternoon. He could see all of those things, and he says, and he could see in the distance the rocky hill called the Hill of Zion. And that's where they're going to have the Lord Jesus someday. And on Zion, that he's going to die on a cross. And he could see maybe God would let him see a glimpse of what Jerusalem would be, that holy city, that city where Jesus is going to come. And he's going to come to that very city of Jerusalem. He is physically going to come to that city of Jerusalem. And he's going to sit on a throne. And he's going to rule Jerusalem. And he's going to rule Israel. And he's going to rule the Middle East. And he's going to rule the whole wide world, including New York City and London and all of the rest of them. He is going to rule personally, and literally, this same Jesus is coming again. And so there's Moses. He says all of these things. And he felt that he was going to die right there. He says, I pray thee, let me go over and see the good land beyond Jordan. But God said, no. Behold, with thine eyes, thou shalt not go over. It was no, but God had made it, and it was never going to change. And so here, dear friend, it makes me think of this. We're going to come to the end of life sometime, someplace, and you're going to be on Mount Pisgah, and I'm going to be on Mount Pisgah, and we're going to have to go. And why are you ready to go? Are you ready to go to see God? Are you ready to meet God? And Moses, he says to Moses, thou shalt not go over. And to those who do not know Jesus, they're not going to go over. There's no way they can pass into that promised land, that wonderful land. There's only one way, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to do this. We have to be sure that we have our faith in the Lord. And that's what we preach about all the time. And you know, I was thinking as I was working on this sermon, Jesus wants your soul. The most precious thing you have is your soul. Jesus wants your soul. You know what? The devil wants your soul too. And there's a battle there. And who's going to win? Well, who's the strongest? Well, Jesus is the strongest. But he's not going to win because he's the strongest. You are going to choose who you're going to go with from Pisgah. Are you going to go into the promised land, or are you going to go into a place of torment? Your wife can't do it for you. You can't do it for your children. I get letters from people, and they say, will you, my son is coming to college there, and will you talk to him? Will you give him some literature? But don't tell him that I sent you. Those parents would make that decision for that child if they could, but you can't do it. And Moses is standing on that mountain. It's all made for him. He can't enter that promised land there, right on that spot, but he's going to enter heaven. And so you need to come to Jesus, and that's what we give all the time, over and over. Come to the Savior. And some people, and the one thing that I find most often is that people think if they do more good works than bad works, they'll get to heaven. And when they get to heaven's gates, God is going to measure. He's going to have scales there. And he's going to see if we have more good works than bad works, then we go to heaven. If we have more bad works than good works, we're going to go to hell. You want to know something? Works don't have a thing to do, St. Paul says in the book of Romans, but to him that worketh not, but believeth. It's all believing. St. Paul tells us again in Ephesians, And he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, the wonderful mercy of God. And so if you're counting on righteousness, well, our prophet tells us, God tells us through the prophet in the Old Testament, all of our good works are like filthy rags, filthy, dirty, rotten rags. And you never can get them clean till you come to Jesus. And so Jesus tells, he tells us how he's not willing that any should perish. He wants all of you to make that decision. He stands at your heart door and knocks. And he knocks and he's saying, I want to come into your life. I want to cleanse you of your sins. I want to make you my child. I want to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to give you peace. I want to give you joy. I'm not saying he's going to give you a lot of money, because he maybe won't. None of the apostles had any money, and Jesus didn't have a thing. So don't get the money out of your head. But the big things is that wonderful faith and joy and happiness and peace that only the Lord can give. Only God can give it. And so that's what we're preaching. And Jesus tells us whoever comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. I get letters from people that think they're getting in by good works. Those works don't count a thing, not a thing. And they'll say, well, boy, you're sure going to get to heaven. You preached all those years. Yeah, but you'll sure get into heaven. You know what? My preaching won't make one particle of difference. It won't mean a thing. The only thing they're going to look is what the death angel was looking for when he went through Egypt. He says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And if you don't see that blood, whether it's a man or a beast or an Egyptian or a Hebrew, they died in Egypt the night of that Passover. They call it the Passover. They celebrate it to this day, and well, they should. And Jesus is looking, and he's looking, God's looking, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And so we apply that blood by faith, and we apply that blood, we say, dear Jesus, please come into my heart and take away my sins. And by your blood, you don't have to get into all that. He'll just do it. He just says, as many as received him, as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the children of God. You are never a child of God till you receive Jesus. And you never receive Jesus until you personally ask him into your life. Do that. Now, if you do that, you write to us. Write to the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Wherever you are in the world, you write to us, and or you can get us on the internet. You get us on ChristianWorshipHour.com. And there's a place on there, how to get to heaven. And you have all the scriptures. You have it right there. You can read them. You can pray them. And we get letters all the time that say, I read on the internet. I prayed that prayer to Jesus. And I asked him into my heart and my life. And now I know I'm a child of God. Now, if you write to us, we'll send you literature. And then you can get it on ChristianWorshipHour.com. You can get some of my sermons. You can get to devotions. And you can get the way of salvation. But I know some of you are saying, well, ChristianWorshipHour.com, we don't have any means of that. The persecuted church can't get us on that way. And so what you do, you write to us, send us a message just some way, and we'll write to you. We'll send you literature to help you get along. And so it's the Christian Worship Hour, and it's Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then don't forget our little Bible study. And you're going to love this Bible study. And there's a new one every month. It's a one-page study. And we have scriptures that you can look up. And so this week, we're taking the words of Paul where he says that he wants to be like Christ. See, he wants to follow him and to be like the Lord Jesus. And so that's our study. And then next month, we'll have another study. And so we'll send it free and postpaid. But you have to write to us. And maybe you want to help us financially. And if you do that, we have to have your help. We have to pay our way just like anybody else. And we just go just as God makes it available. And so you just say, well, dear Lord, now, should I help these people? Is this a ministry that I should be doing? And if he says yes, then help us out. If he says no, put it somewhere else, because there are other ministries that are good, that are true to the Word of God. So maybe you have somebody else. But we'll get what God wants us to have, and that's all we want. And so then when we do that, then we'll be praying for you. When you get your letters, we pray for you folks. We get a lot of requests for prayer. And we'll just talk about things and we'll show you about the things of the Lord. And next week, I'm going to have a special sermon. And I just hope that you'll all tune in because it's going to be my 97th birthday. And I'm going to preach on the 97th Psalm. And I don't think the sermon's very good, but I'm going to get there. And the Lord willing, I'll be there. And that's what I'll preach. So now I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for everyone who's tuned in today. Everyone who's been watching, everybody's worshiping with us. I pray especially, Lord, for the persecuted church again, that they'll know that we care for them, that you care for them, and that they are an encouragement to us. And when we see how they suffer for you and stand up for you, it makes us stronger, makes us more willing to stand up and be counted. And so just, oh God, just help them and watch over them. And to those who are weary and those who are lonely, to the young people, Lord, making decisions and maybe some of them having trouble with drugs or whatever it is, help them to take you into their heart and you give them strength and they can beat it. They can beat it. They can't do it alone, but they can with your help. So we'll just give them all to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have a wonderful time and I just look forward to every weekend when we can come and worship with you. And we want you to know that God loves you. We want you to know that Christian Worship Hour loves you. And I know I love you, and I'm preaching the best I can. And you say, well, you make a lot of mistakes. Oh, I sure do. I like to make mistakes. But amongst it all is the Scripture, the wonderful Word of God. And that's what we're doing. We're talking about Jesus, the wonderful Jesus. We're talking about His Word. The heavens and earth will pass away. His word will never pass away. So we're just praying now. You pray for us. We'll pray for you. Next week, Lord willing, we'll see you again.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again so that anyone who calls upon His name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you and God bless you.